Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, and with me for another exciting and admittedly really wet by this point adventure,
James Ross,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
Ben Meredith.
And what characters are you playing?
Sir Bertrand McGuffingham, the finest legal mind of his generation.
Hamid Salah Haroun Al-Tahan, single female lawyer.
Sasha Rackett, dagger enthusiast. In the face of all challenges, legal, linguistic, diplomatic, problem solving, puzzles, just solving riddles, dagger enthusiasts.
Zolf Smith, romance enthusiast.
Yeah! So, where we left off, Zolf was having to see out some of his time in jail awaiting a court-martial in now 6 days.
And he started a book club.
The jailer's just happy for some company. Yeah. Hamid had requested some legal books, and Sasha had effectively helped out early in the archive and then been doing some daggering, and Bertie had some downtime with Brutor.
It's important to have some me time.
And now Brutor really does think he's people. So... we'll pick up where we left off the morning after, starting with Hamid, Bertie, and Sasha waking up in, by far to this date, the nicest accommodation you've had yet.
It's really exciting. I've been in so many role-playing campaigns. I've never played a rich character before. It's nice just being like, yes, I get the best hotel room available.
We'll say you're at breakfast.
Oh, if anything, those sheets were too silken. I almost slipped straight off, but I didn't. Well done, me. I'm going to reward myself with a massive breakfast. So is Brutor. Yeah, boy. At this point, Bertie holds up a kipper and dangles it over Brutor's head.
Brutor looks disdainfully at the kipper and proceeds to climb up onto a chair at the table and await a serving.
Well done, Brutor. Bertie puts out the kipper and then presents a knife and fork to Brutor.
Brutor proceeds to pick up the fork and just kind of... his face at the kipper, gives up and admittedly eats from the plate, but in a really dignified way.
Good.
Sasha's hair is all poofy. She's used things that were shampoo. like the sort of thing that turns your hair into feathers. You know, like, everything is like, maybe she's born with it, maybe it's extremely expensive chemical products.
From how you've described it, you are sort of describing Sasha as looking a little bit like David Bowie in Labyrinth at this point.
She looked shocked by her own head a lot of the time.
I think the crotch bulge is actually just another dagger, though.
A spherical dagger. It still draws the eye.
Good food. Do you think Dolph's getting good food in the prison where we left him?
I mean, I think that the jailer man seemed really nice, actually, and so I think he'll... It won't be this good, obviously, but I think actually he'll get something decent.
We'll cut to the jail. The jailer at this point has set up a little sort of almost TV dinner up against the bars and got you to push your table against the bars if you wish, and is sharing a full cooked breakfast with you and is effectively just discussing romance novels. Honestly, I mean, did you see it coming? I didn't. Honestly, Jeremiah is the wrong woman. She is the wrong woman, but it's just so readable.
I know. Honestly, just at the start with Richard's, the way that he's initially presented to you, you know, the meeting in the arcade, he comes off so badly, but, you know, throughout books two and three, you really get to know him. You see inside his soul, like, he's really genuine. It's incredible. I've got to say, thank you for putting me onto these.
Oh, it's all right, honestly. I mean, if you ever get out, you come find me, and I reckon that we ought to go see him because he's a great author. I think you'd really, really enjoy meeting him.
Yeah. But you've got that problem when you're meeting your heroes. They don't really live up to
Oh, yeah, that's a really good point. Maybe it's best leaving it as a mystery.
Maybe. But if I do ever come across him, we seem to have a knack for meeting famous people, so if we ever do come across him, I'll get to sign something for you.
Oh, thanks. Can you do it to, like, my bestest pal or something? Oh, is that a bit much?
It might be a bit much.
So, we'll, we'll go ahead and say that Hamid makes it to the post office.
Yep.
And picks up a whole load of legal documentation.
Time for legal montage. Legal montage, legal montage, yeah. Legal montage.
Everyone in for a legal montage?
Legal montage! Woo!
Single female lawyer!
We'll say that you closet yourself up, what, in a library, the hotel rooms? Where would you like
to go? The hotel room.
Chart the hotel rooms, and Legal montage! Legal montage!
Copyright free music.
So, can I get...
Reading, writing, reading more. Debating at a blackboard. Where did the blackboard come from?
Can I get...
Brutal's there going... Just slam cart to Brutal in a tiny judge's wig in a mock cardboard made courtroom where you're running from rehearsal. Sasha's playing Zolf. She's got her hair, trying to put it down as a beard.
Just continually like pushing it down. Yeah.
Oh, and I'm playing, Bertie's playing Hamid, and Hamid's playing Bertie.
Wait, so you've got Hamid in Bertie's armour, just like his head poking out from the breastplate, sitting on the floor.
And Bertie's just pretending to cast Prejudicitation, but he's only wearing his pants that he's given his armour.
You know what? Working. You know what? I'm going to say canonical, but moving on.
Okay, right.
Can I get from each of you, to represent the different aspects of it, a flat intelligence check for the sake of how to build the argument, a linguistics check to cover the assembling of that into a basically a coherent legal narrative, as it were, and a diplomacy check for how do we effectively write this and present this as something that will be legally acceptable. Okay. I need three
rolls.
Can we
do this cooperatively? Can people help each other?
I want three separate rolls.
So, why don't you guys should do the int check? I suspect that the thing that I am least incapable at is the linguistics, which is I've got a modifier of 3, 4.
No, that's one.
I've also got 3.
I've got 3.
Cool. Well, I may as well do that if I have to do one of the things. And then if
my diplomacy is diplomacy. That's like my best skill of all.
Cool.
So, who's doing linguistics?
Me. Bertie is.
Who's doing intelligence?
Me.
And who's doing diplomacy?
I'll be doing the diplomacy.
Can I start with the intelligence first?
Determined that Sasha, for the benefit of the tape, the dice kept falling off the table and going into weird places on the 2s and 5s, and now we've finally got one and it's a 7. It's like the dice knows Sasha is not a legal mind.
So is that a total of 10?
Yeah, that's a total of 10.
We'll say that most of your arguments tend to boil down to, now Zolf could have gotten away with it if he had done this, as opposed to, you know, defending him as it stands.
Pointing out problems with my plan.
Yeah, basically. Can I get the linguistics next?
So Bertie rolls the linguistics and gets 8 plus 3 is 11.
Mm-hmm.
We are not that.
And can I get the diplomacy check?
I'm going to switch dice. I feel the need for some extra luck.
Oh, that works!
No!
Natural 20.
I stand corrected.
Plus my modifier of 10. That is a 30.
That is basically retroactively rewriting the law. Admiralty, why bother?
I'm going to use the Chewbacca defense.
Well, Chewbacca defense.
It's South Park reference, isn't it?
Yeah.
Basically, the Chewbacca defense for the
I'm so confident that my client will be acquitted that I can talk about Chewbacca.
It's just like, my client is so innocent, I'm going to spend the rest of my defense talking about Chewbacca. He's from Endor. This is how confident I am. That's the whole defense. It's just that. What we'll do is we'll say that
I'm not gonna use the
whilst being
defense.
Slightly florid nonetheless, your diplomacy aspect of it is effectively starting to say, but let's examine the broader picture here, and starts critiquing actual legal framework and arguing that if the legal framework is broken, working within it is itself wrong.
I'm also going to build up Zolf's recent services to the crown as accounting in his favour, because he has in fact served his country in other and even more crucial ways recently.
Well, we've managed to build something at least. So, we'll say that all of this took place over the course of a couple of days. The research and the building and the figuring it out and so on. Over those couple of days, again, you've ended up being sat in a cell, but...
Voraciously devouring Harrison Campbell novels.
Yeah, you're becoming quite the aficionado. And I'd say that at this point, your discussions are starting to head more into, you know, really, really in-depth readings of each of them. Probably inappropriately deep, let's be honest. But nonetheless, very, very good. They are vapid. They are vapid. But... nonetheless, a couple of days have passed. You've assembled your legal argument, and we'll say for the sake of argument that you are visiting Zolf to coordinate with him and sort of get the last touches together before someone's due within the next couple of days. They never went more specific than that.
So we, I'm presuming, then read the conflicting survivors' accounts.
Yeah, sure. So the conflicting survivors' accounts. So the account from Jonah effectively is discussing a freak squall hit a rock and was then sunk as a result of that. That appears to be the sort of party line that was taken. That seems to be what the official documentation is. We believe that this is probably what happened. Tallulah gives an account of a large storm and then claims that as navigation officer, there were no rocky outcroppings or anything for them to crash upon, and is adamant that they came under some kind of fire at some point, but it was masked by the storm. Captain Samael abjectly refused to give any kind of statement whatsoever. They offered him an out, which was retirement, and he took it rather than actually give an account of what happened.
Ooh, very suspicious.
So what's your memory of what happened, Zolf?
Well, I mean, it's... problem was, I was below decks at the time that it happened. There was a storm blowing up that we hadn't predicted. Obviously, Norway could be quite ferocious. Being tossed about, things were going badly from the off. So we were just running around trying to stop the ship from coming apart. Then, all of a sudden, there's an almighty crash, and suddenly water was flowing in, and just everything just broke down at that point.
Yeah.
You know. But
how did you make it out?
I just legged it. Kind of.
Did you have both your legs at that point?
Yeah, that was later. I only lost this about 3 years ago.
So if anything, he legged it rather than legged it.
Yeah.
I'm helping.
Yes.
So, back to the time that I almost drowned. Yes, so...
So, how did you get out, but no one else... Well, almost no one else did?
I've got...
You're just better at swimming?
I've got no idea.
That's great. You're an excellent swimmer.
I made it out. At that point, it was everyone for themselves. As I said, it was broken down. The lifeboats were... gone. I don't know if the captain had taken it.
We didn't have time to abandon ship formally. I mean, it must have just been everyone thrown into the ocean, I imagine.
It was pretty much that. A lot of people got dragged down with the wreck, and I lost consciousness, and the next thing I know, I'd woken up on some driftwood, and another ship was there to pick me up.
Salvaged you, yes.
There is a small commotion from outside of, you're again in the interrogation slash just the closed discussion room. There is a small commotion from outside that room. You hear the distinct sound of the jailer. Are you sure? I mean, honestly, I don't really know what's happening. And there's just a deep, sultry voice. You can't make out the words that it is saying. It's not travelling through the way the higher pitched of the jailer is. But clearly there's something happening outside.
I open the door.
Sure.
Let's see what's going on.
You open the door to reveal the jailer looking worried, hat in hand, ringing it, very genuinely distressed, facing in full sort of religious paraphernalia a very, very large, very, very tall priest of Poseidon. Trident in hand, big, long beard, which is plaited and elaborate. It's an ostentation that you haven't seen Zolf display at any point.
Are they human?
Yes. Very tall with it. And they are mid-conversation with him. Do you know who this man is? Do you understand the nature of this situation? You do not have the right, you do not have the ability to restrain my man, and you will not do so. You will let my man go at this moment, and he will accompany, lest this situation escalate. Do I understand? He turns to see you. Can I help you, sir?
What would be the correct form of address for a priest of this rank?
Do you have any knowledge of religion?
I really, really don't. I have no idea, do I?
I'm going to let you pick between sir and ma'am.
Actually, if I see you, do you kind of hesitate before you say the thing, or do you just go straight into it?
I probably do hesitate since I don't know the correct...
Cool.
In which case,
I will whisper the appropriate...
All of the orders are based upon, basically, rankings on a ship. You have captain, navigator, and so on. Unless you get up from your chair, poke your head out and so on to see who it is, you would just have to pick something high ranking. Sir would be appropriate. It wouldn't be hugely inappropriate. But titles are very much effectively ranks on a ship.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Just go with sir.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but it's really not this man's, under this man's authority to release
Mr. Smith from imprisonment, but we're his legal team, and we're conferencing with him. If you'd like to speak to him, we can do that, and perhaps this can be resolved with someone who actually has the authority to fix the situation rather
Very
than
well.
This poor man who's just doing his job. I'm sure you understand, sir.
Very well. He strides forth and steps into the room.
What rank is he?
Navigator, which is wildly high. Wildly high. He'll normally be in charge of a local chapter. And when you're heading into captain, there are multiple captains at the religious level, but they're more like, they're dictating policy.
Yeah, yeah,
so he's as high as he can get short of being in a very high council.
So he's like a bishop?
At the very least.
Okay.
I'd say a high-ranking bishop.
Okay.
That's a good way of putting it.
I will spring out of my chair, go down on one knee, bow my head and say, it's an honour
Let's not stand on ceremony. He gestures for you to stand up.
Get up.
This is an unacceptable situation. It is a besmirchment of your order, and I cannot believe that it has been allowed to happen.
Unfortunately, they have a valid reason. This was something that occurred before I joined the order.
No, I will not accept this. I am going to overrule this. You will be accompanying me to the local chapter house. If they want to cause a fight over it, we'll see what they can do, because frankly, this is unacceptable.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but given the tensions already in this town between the municipal authorities and your own order, perhaps it would be best not to inflame things further. We really do think we are will be able to take care of the situation within a day or two at most. We
can
believe
I get a
we've already.
Check?
I roll some diplomacy. I roll a 12, 22.
Okay, yeah.
I do think we'll be able to resolve this situation within a day or two at most. We're very confident in the defence we've prepared, and I really don't think that this will lead to any consequences or any poor reflection on your order whatsoever, sir.
I mean no offence to anyone in this room. Who are you people? I am given to understand Zolf Smith and the nature of his relationship to me. I do not understand your relationship to him.
He's our boss.
I allow Zolf to introduce us.
Well, as Sasha said, yeah, employment. I'm their boss.
Bertie interrupts. I am Sir Bertrand MacGuffingham of Old Botham. Pleased to meet you. Offers a hand for a handshake. Doesn't necessarily receive the hand for the handshake. Seizes the hand and shakes it heartily anyway.
Again, there's a bit of a clinking and clanking because he is wearing regalia. He then turns to Zolf and goes, so I'm given to understand that not only have you found yourself with responsibilities to the meritocracy, but also an independent venture in addition to your position as a cult member.
Yes, Navigator, that is correct.
Well, I feel at least partially at ease by the nature of your halfling friends.
Oh, sorry, yeah, it's Hamid.
Hamid.
Hamid Salah Harun Al-Tahan. And I emphasise the Al-Tahan just a little more than I normally might.
He twigs it. When can this be resolved by?
2 days at the most, we believe, yes.
5 days, I believe, the hearing is in.
We weren't given an exact date.
But it was a week from 2 days ago.
Ish.
Right.
He takes a moment, considers the situation, turns to Zolf. If I do not have you in my chapter house, whether legitimately or otherwise, by the end of 5 days, I will take this matter into my own hands. And whilst you may not end up under meritocratic authority, you will wish that you had been. Do you understand me?
Yes, Navigator.
He strides out.
Thank you, sir.
I sort of call after him.
Toodaloo!
He gives a minor sort of off-cuff wave of the hand, strides past the jailer. I hope for your sake that this goes well, and then just leaves.
Was he helping? I genuinely couldn't tell.
I think he was helping in a rather Bertie-like fashion, perhaps.
Ah, well, what, you mean effectively and with complete confidence of everyone around him? Yes. Good, that's it.
Almost exactly
yes.
Like that.
I
rush to the kitchen of the jail, pour a little dram of brandy and go back and give it to the jailer.
Oh, sure. He sat down. Oh, this is bad. This is very bad. This is extremely bad.
It's going to be okay, don't worry.
In fact, I'd say that he leaves the front and goes, joins all of you in that room,
right.
Leaving no one at the front. And just sits with the door open with you guys and sort of nursing that tiny little dram.
Why is it bad? It sounded like he had Zolf's back. I think, like, what?
Well, yes.
Why is he that kind of boss? You know, the sort of boss he is worse than the other people.
Oh,
people.
Well, I think we really can't afford any more disagreements between the cult of Poseidon and the rest of this town.
It's a people thing.
It's a bit of a powder keg, and they'll likely get all of us out to make sure everyone's staying calm.
Want another riot.
No, we don't.
That's what went perfectly fine.
I have no idea why a navigator is taking interest in this. I don't know him personally, but as you said, Bertie-esque.
Well, there are some advantages, of course, to having a member of nobility in your party. Perhaps he has taken notice of the newly elevated company you're keeping and deemed you worthy of his personal attention. So that would seem like the most logical answer to me.
He didn't know who you were.
Well, then maybe he was drunk or tired or sad or...
Hungry.
Or cross, or hungover,
yeah.
or sleepy. He could have been sleepy. Maybe he was in an attempt to wink at me. Maybe something just went minor aneurysm, perhaps. Maybe that is why he didn't immediately recognise me. But I felt a certain bond with him immediately. I felt that, you know, should we meet socially, we'd really have got on, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yes, no, right, okay. Sorry, just a bit rattled by that.
Do you need us to bust you out? I don't say that because the jailer's there. I say it quietly. Do you need us to bust you out?
Smooth. No, that would actually make anything worse.
All right. Keep me in the loop on that.
Yeah, right? Oh, no, sure, I will be. Thanks for the offer, I guess.
I think this is getting a bit out of hand. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to see what I can do. He stands up and heads to the office.
The best thing to happen would be for the court-martial to take place as soon as possible.
Yes, I think that would be a very good idea as well.
Don't think we need to do anything out of procedure, but if we could just perhaps accelerate things a touch, it might be for the best.
It seems that there are two potential causes of action here that might ameliorate the situation. First, we take whatever steps are possible to expedite the legal proceedings. Secondly, we might consider something that might diffuse tensions somewhat between the cult of Poseidon and the people of the town.
I'm so tempted to smash cut to a massive party.
Oh, 80s music in all the boomboxes.
1880s.
It sounds basically like rumpus.
Right, we'll say that the jailer steps out to sort some few things, and as you consider your situation, we'll take a break and we'll come back in a few minutes.
Test, test. Elias, hopefully if you hear this, it means I've found a way to record those difficult statements I was telling you about. While I hate to speak ill of the dead, the previous archivist left this place in such a dreadful mess, and even an organization with such an unusual focus as the Magnus Institute needs a well-organized archive. As you know, I've been going through trying to digitize and record audio versions, but I've been having trouble with a few of them all. Bizarre statements. There have been sufficient distortions as to make them utterly unintelligible. Thankfully, though, I managed to unearth this old tape recorder from storage, and these cassettes, archaic as they may be, are still better than nothing. So with that in mind, I thought I'd take it for a spin, as it were. I've taken the shortest of the problem statements, and I'm trying it here. Frankly, I wouldn't normally bother with something so fragmented. But it should be fine as a test. Statement of Jacob, no second name given, regarding God knows what. Original statement given July 15th, 2011. Statement begins. It'll get you too. You can stare all you want, make your notes and your inquiries, but all your beholding will come. When the time arrives and all is darkness and butchery, you'll wish you had stopped listening and run. Statement ends. Yes, well, you see why I wouldn't have otherwise recorded it. Not exactly something for posterity, but nonetheless, Let me know if you are able to hear that correctly, Elias. If so, I think we can begin transcribing the rest of the statements.
The Magnus Archives, a new weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quail, coming soon.
And welcome back. So, we'll say that you spent the rest of the afternoon basically in the jail going over your legal argument a bit more.
Polishing it up, letting Zolf know the plan.
Yep.
As evening rocks up, not late evening, we'll say about 5 p.m, Commander Barnes turns up. The jailer has a brief word with him and then shows Commander Barnes in. He steps in and he has a full sort of, oiled greatcoat kind of things for the weather. Pulls it off, drapes it down. Right, well, you're in luck. They've managed to make good time. You ready?
Yep.
Hopefully we can get this all done as soon as possible.
Yep.
Just don't go over the top with it, yeah?
Yep.
Just keep it simple. Right,
I make no promises.
He swings the oil coat over and then leads you back out. We'll say that you head towards the academy. It's rapidly apparent that we're powering towards genuine flooding. He's taking side roads. The police have shut down certain roads because they're just awash. Certain properties towards the edges of the sea and the cliffs have been emptied and things like that. There's water, like rivulets running down the street and so on, and Barnes seems genuinely concerned by the whole thing. It's less a case of, you don't see anyone outside causing trouble, let's put it that way. They lead you through and lead you to the academy, and he steps in. You're all absolutely sopping. It's effectively raining horizontally.
I slip my magical sleeves over the end of my wrists, and suddenly I'm wearing a completely dry, perfectly coiffured set of lawyer's robes, including wig.
So,
Sasha is looking away when you do that, and then you do that, and then she looks at, and that is the closest she's ever been to a legal representative. Does not make her happy. You may hear a squeal.
I'm so tempted just to whisper magic again, but I refrain.
See, you're not immune to fear effects, are you, Sasha?
No, totally not. Totally not, no.
So, you're led through. And again, there are a couple of token naval police with you, but they're really not doing anything.
Sure.
You march through. The jailer basically gave your possessions to the other members of the party because Barnes was with them, so all your stuff's with you. They lead you to a last set of double doors, and before you go in, Barnes just takes a moment and goes, again, this is straightforward stuff. I wish you the best of luck.
Right.
Opens the doors.
Don't you have a spell which can give people bonuses to diplomacy?
What do you mean, enhanced diplomacy? Which I prepared!
just mentioning it off the cuff.
I will allow this retroactive casting.
it's a standard action, and it's ranged touch, so I just have to tap him on the shoulder. It does only last a minute, though, so you have to get into it quite quickly.
can we arrange the courtroom in such a way that you're spending most of the... Just literally like sticking his finger in his ear.
I'm just going to rest here. Lean on my friend. Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Unlike me, he can only cast the spell as many times as he's prepared it, which I assume is once.
It's at level zero, so I can do it infinitely.
Oh, yeah.
So, you enter the room.
So just walk in hand in hand.
Yeah, just skip in.
Don't ask, don't tell.
In the Navy.
So, you enter the large room, and it's clearly used for formal situations. However, it's dwarfed by the level of the proceedings that are actually happening. There is a simple table set up, backed up against a very large fireplace, which is lit. There are three people sat there, two women and one man. The two women to the left, man on the right. They're all wearing formal regalia. Two of them, the man and one of the women look bookish. The remaining woman looks far more military, crew cut, very, very stern looking. There is a chair in the middle of the large empty hall, and then there is a small table about 20 feet to the left of it for seats for the remainder of you. And there is seating available at the back. There's no one there. The storm is drumming against the windows at the far end, big stained glass, like depiction of a ship at sea with noble sailors and all that kind of jazz. And yeah, there's the storm raging, and the stern woman looks up. Take a seat and we'll get through this as quickly as possible. Looks
Take
back
a seat.
Down to
yep.
our paperwork. Now, Zolf Smith, correct?
Correct.
We understand that you are here due to missing in action, failing to return to duty upon the resumption of your position on the shore. I understand that you've presented a legal defence.
My associate here will be...
I'll be acting as counsel.
In that case, before we begin the defence, how will you be pleading? Will you be pleading guilty to the charge of becoming AWOL after resuming your safety on the shore? Guilty or innocent? Your plea.
Innocent, Your Honour.
Very well. Given the fact that following this proceeding, will you be, irrespective of the finding of that charge, assuming you are not incarcerated, will you be intending to purchase your commission, we presume?
Yes, Your Honour.
Very well. They gesture to Hamid. Proceed. The other woman, who's looking, again, bookishly up, just goes, do try to keep it quickly if you can. We have others to see today.
Give him a little shoulder squeeze.
Yeah, yes.
A little pat on the head.
Just tap him on the shoulder. I also have to hold my Driftwood Dolphin.
Sure, sure.
And mutter a couple of words. But
that's fine.
I launch into the defence we prepared, and okay. I've spent many hours practicing in the mirror.
Before
over the last,
you do so,
few days.
Then, I am factoring in previous checks. Can you give me a diplomacy check to make your case?
Yep.
What bonus is
that?
You
is get? A plus two competence bonus.
Cool. No one else may aid because no one else is allowed to be speaking. Yep.
I roll a 19.
Nice.
Plus 10 plus 2 is 31.
31.
If anything, it's even better.
Well, it wasn't a natural 20, so okay, I think according to the rules, a natural 20 is kind of better than a, even if your actual score.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to get bonuses.
It's still, it's, natural
31,
is,
it's freaking awesome. Yeah. Yes.
Natural 20s, bells and whistles. This is just being really good.
Yeah. Okay.
What we'll do is we'll skip all of the argument for the sake of my sanity.
And the listeners.
Unfortunately,
montage,
I don't
montage.
Keep it to under a minute.
Montage, montage. It's like soft panning while Hammond is gesturing.
Gesturing.
Bleeding eyes. Like the cut to the audience.
I'm in tears. I'm in tears. They're in tears.
Bertie's holding up Bruto. He's wearing a little wig.
He's in tears.
Yeah, Bruto's in tears. There's a certain amount of like weird prop comedy going on because it's an Annie McBeal style call.
Can we cut to, can you RP a closing statement for me? Of any kind that you
no
wish.
Pressure.
If this man has not served his country, then who can say they have? Thank you!
Bertie pats Hamid on the shoulder, well done, and just pass him a small pastry that he's taken for breakfast.
So the...
just want to go...
And takes up a round of applause, starts applauding, and stands up and starts applauding a standing ovation.
And for his own speech. Lawyer.
For his own,
I'm going to allow a standing ovation for the four people in the massive empty echoing hall.
So can we just see how that's going to sound?
No one else joins in. Or do they? Surely he's 31.
You know what we'll say? One of the women that said they should hurry up, also starts clapping, sits down and realises that was wildly inappropriate. They all say, if you'll give the stern woman again, if you'll give us a moment, we will confer. They literally just heads in. Very well, and given the nature of your defence, which, whilst eloquent, we believe to be slightly overwrought, nonetheless, we do indeed find that you are innocent of any illegal activity. We would have appreciated you to approach yourself. Nonetheless, the case remains that you do still need to buy your commission, as you are still under meritocratic law.
Right.
However, given, again, via your defence, your recent activities for the public good, again, in service of the meritocratic aims, we would like to reduce your commission to the cost of 3,000 gold payable within 12 months. Is this acceptable to yourselves?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
Can't you negotiate it down a bit, Hamid? That's a lot of money.
We'll find a way, Sasha. It'll be okay.
Very well. Are you able to give us a permanent residence that we can send communications to?
I will give them Hamid's address.
In London?
Yeah, like his flat.
Very well. Again, paperwork. In that case, you are free to go. We apologise for any inconvenience, but we do remind you that should payment not be received to ourselves within the 12-month period, you will be subject to incarceration and deportation.
How do I make that payment? Who do I contact?
You may either contact any naval academy that you are nearby, you could pay yourselves, or you are able to wire the money via a bank transfer.
Of course. Thank you.
Next! They just gesture you to the opposite double doors.
Yep.
and you see a very, 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 very nervous-looking new recruit being walked in as you walk out.
Good luck.
Well, let's go back to the hotel. I think we've had enough tonight. And we'll, or do you want to go to the cult now?
First things first is I'm going to put on my clothes.
You're still wearing jail gear.
Yeah, so I'm going to...
Of course, yes.
I'll go into a side room. Can I wear my normal clothes? Mm-hmm. Sasha, have you got my trident?
I get my bag of holding, which is tucked around the back of my leather jacket. One second, and I sort of step behind a pillar, pull it out quickly, and then come round back from the behind so they couldn't see. Give him the trident and say, magic.
I say, that's very good. Do you know what card I'm thinking of?
Is it the Ace of Spades?
Yes! You're very good. Magic.
Also, did you two... Is this a thing? Have I missed a thing?
I'd sort of look at him and I'm like, yes.
Right, anyway, I'm going to go pay off $2,500 of that, because that's the money I've got, just to make sure
I can give
show
you another
winning.
$500.
No, this is my fault.
But you can pay me back. It's better to have the debt to the Navy just cleared, and you can owe me.
Okay, thank you.
May I make a recommendation, Mr. Smith? As a man of the aristocracy who's not been unburdened by debt over the years, might I suggest that it is reasonable to keep a certain amount of cash in hand? You do, after all, have 12 months, and it must be said that the reach of the law is not infinite.
I can lend you some cash, Dolph. I got...
We'll still have enough to see for our daily needs.
Bertie, we're in a naval academy, so let's none of that. thanks to the both of you.
How much do you need?
500.
Okay, I'll give you 500.
Okay, I owe you big time.
We will skip ahead past the paperwork of you signing off.
Montage! scribble.
Financial montage.
Bertie's just...
Numbers.
Furiously muttering. Like, that's effectively an interest-free loan for 12 months. 0% APR. What a cretin. Just put down the glue bag, for goodness sake.
We'll skip ahead.
In character, Bertie's opinion of Zolf has gone down at least two quite substantial notches.
Funnily enough, filling in paperwork and legal battles don't make for great roleplay listening, so we might just skip ahead.
Speak for yourself. Half of my podcast are subscriptions to legal roleplay.
So, as you're leaving the Naval Academy, again, Gerald manages to collar Sasha and pass her another thing of food.
Cheers.
I'm so glad everything worked out.
I've bought a small bottle of spirits to give to Gerald.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thanks for making me so welcome, Gerald.
Oh, you're very
Look
welcome.
At Barnes, unlike a lot of this town.
Wow. Do you have a cloak? Do you just throw it? Not
yet. I really want one of those cloaks of the bat.
I love the way that you've clearly been keeping a supply of sick burns in your bag of holding as well. Or in our, or ever. It's pretty good.
Barnes takes the slap, as it were. Well, that's fair enough. I advise you, if you're heading to the continent, that you may want to move faster rather than slower. You'll see the nature the problem we have here in Dover. I wish you nothing but good luck.
It's not like we can take ship while the storm's still going now, is it?
Well, we'll take the train.
Oh, yes.
Is the train not flooded or anything?
I'd hurry.
Right, I think we need to do a flying visit to the cult before I get flayed alive.
Well, there won't be another train leaving tonight. We'll have to leave on the morning train.
Cool. Also, I wasn't joking about flayed alive. That's the thing that happens. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Safe travels. Closes the door.
We just call it exfoliation where I'm from.
So, what's the plan? It is getting on to about 7 p.m. by this point.
Celebratory meal. Lobsters. I know a place. I've met a guy called the Soggy Figurehead. Usually, it's not on the main street, but it's around the corner. They serve all the sort of specialty dishes that they don't do to the normal, landlubbers.
I'm certainly intrigued, but I don't know if Zolf needs to go and see the navigator now.
Definitely take you up on the meal. I'm impressed that you...
Knowledge local! Massive knowledge local! Freaking 9 knowledge local.
Yeah, for someone who's never left London, you take it to
the
sacrificial
water. Yeah, I just start meeting people like Gerald and the jailer, and just everyone's my buddy.
But no, I think we should get there. We'll be just in time for the end of the evening ritual, so it should be a good time to.
So we'll get to see some rituals.
Possibly.
It's like sightseeing. I've heard about this.
So heading to the cult's shrine headquarters.
Temple
thing. That was the word. Heading to the cult's temple.
Pray house.
Just to clarify on this, Brutal is in his papoose, and as we're going to see the cult of Poseidon, he's wearing his little sailor outfit, not his judge's costume.
Are you sure you don't want to have some kind of tailored cult of Poseidon costume for him? I mean, that'd be the least appropriate, I'm sure.
That would be incredibly offensive. Perfect.
Yeah, that wouldn't...
Or do a Brutal cosplay as Zolf?
Currently, he only has two outfits. He's got a sailor outfit and a judge outfit. You have to declare ahead of time if you want others.
You're right. So, yeah. Okay, you're right. We've got to take this seriously. We can't just retcon new outfits for this pug Rottweiler hybrid.
This is a joke. Otherwise, we end up with papooses all over the place. Am I right?
Yeah.
And it's a breed that I like to call the Progweiler.
So, we'll say that you head onwards towards the cliffs. You will know. Well, it was mentioned previously, but the entrance is at the head of the cliffs. There are alternate entrances via sea, but for obvious reasons, you're probably not going to be going for that one. So you head along and are heading up the cliffs, basically, through a long, slow climb. It's...
This rock is so cool, it's like they forgot to colour it in.
It's chalk.
Oh, right, yeah, I didn't know that they dug it out of the ground.
Right.
Okay. It's like it's pencils also dug out of the
To room. Have this conversation, it's so loud and blustery.
And what about pens? What?
Pen. Nearest pen mine is miles away.
What about paints? Do they dig that out of lakes?
Technically some colours.
Oh, right, cool.
As you're heading along, you are heading closer and closer, and what was once just something in the distance that you maybe got a glimpse of is thrown into sharp relief with bolts of lightning and so on. So the cliffs are obviously huge, for anyone who doesn't know, by the way. We have listeners who are abroad, I've never mentioned it. The cliffs of Dover are really big.
They made
white.
A song about
and,
it. Yeah.
And white.
And carved into faces in
this
world.
Yeah, so in this world there is a huge, huge, almost like a carved mural into the side of one of the cliffs of Dover. Massive sprawling thing. It shows Poseidon in all of his glory, wielding a trident above tempestuous seas, with him rescuing with his bare hands some sailors from the ocean.
Wait, Poseidon has bare hands? That's not appropriate for a sea god.
It's basically if you cross the Colossus of Rhodes with Mount Rushmore.
Yes, exactly. And it is, I cannot stress this enough, massive, incredibly detailed. There's no possible way it was made not magically. Obviously, they had to use magic to do it. In fact, it's probably got magic keeping it like uneroded and keeping it up.
Yeah, chalk's not the best building material.
Funnily enough,
does the path sort of slightly follow the sculpture, so you end up like walking up his arm and then into his mouth or something like that?
Yes, let's say it does because that's way cooler.
Right. Ooh, a molehill.
So kind
I definitely
of...
don't ask if Poseidon is compensating. I restrain myself from asking that question.
As you're heading up the path, behind the main fresco sort of thing, you see there are loads of depicted scenes, again, carved even deeper. So from a distance, you'll see this huge thing. And that huge thing, it's like those images where it's one image made of loads of little images. And then as you're walking along, you're walking past shrine after shrine after shrine after shrine, each of which is depicting, you know, Poseidon in his various roles as a
fresco.
So gaining confidence as we get to the top, stride right up to the great double doors built into Poseidon's mouth, and slam my trident on the gates. The tides part for the faithful.
At which point, whilst it's chalk, again, it seems unnaturally robust, and as it parts, you see it's about 2 foot thick. Slowly swing
it's
open.
His mouth going kind of, oh. Like James Ross's face.
And you step into the gaping maw of Poseidon, but yeah.
Although, as it's opening, I'll just...
Like that tea towel that you have, that image with your mouth...
Tea towels are available.
But just with Poseidon. Yeah,
it's his cast profile picture on the site, so everyone can go check out massive mouth.
Yeah,
you want visual aids?
You want to know what Poseidon looks like? James Ross's face on the website. Just...
Yeah, if anybody listening would like a tea towel of the cult of Poseidon.
Quick rebranding.
Yeah.
I think it's paint over it with a bit of fabric paint.
So
put a fish on it.
As the doors open, I turn around to these guys with a grin on my face, like, how cool was that? And walk in.
So stepping in, it is very dimly lit with flaming torches, and there are two guards, again with tridents, one of which is a dwarf, one of which is a halfling, actually.
Oh.
Just because I haven't seen one yet for the Poseidon group. Either side of the main door, and they effectively cross the tridents till they see yourselves, and gesture for you to head in. As you head down, it is effectively a tunnel. It's large enough for you to walk all abreast of one another, but the natural acoustics of the cave are such that you can hear, as if close but quiet, the sound of the waves crashing against the base of the cliffs, and there is definite sounds of like chanting and incantations and stuff like that as you head further down, deeper and deeper into the cliff, till eventually you reach another pair of doors, which appear to be... Actually, give me an appraise check, Sasha. Yeah.
11 plus 8 is 19.
19. Incredibly expensive and strong. It looks like mithril inlaid with gems, pearls, things like that.
Stuff.
Again, it's the same size as the outer doors. The sort of tunnel widens, and you see this huge, what would effectively be almost impenetrable, gate, which you can see through. So it is a filigreed gate.
So just out of like idle curiosity, is there like a curse on all this stuff if it was to be like, you know, taken to other places? Wondered. Like in case of magical powers and stuff. Just intrigued really about how spells get...
Sasha, this is like still my religion, so let's
just
respect,
interested,
you know.
Zolf, I'm just interested.
Poseidon really will mess you up.
Oh, at right. Which point the doors, the gates swing open. And the sound of the sea grows slightly louder. Mm-hmm. And we'll say that you step forward into the darkness. And we'll close the episode there.
Woo!
It's just, it's just a man with a wave maker.
Bit of variety in this one, going from single female lawyer to James Ross's face.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're nothing if not
those
there.
Two things are polar opposites.
They are. Gargantuan Chalkan James Ross.
Yeah.
But with like a little trident-like crown.
It's not this. Yeah, so this all sounds good.
The massive white beard.
Oh, I do need a shave.
On that note, I think we'll close it there. So thanks for listening. We hope you tune in next week. Bye all.
See you
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening. You really don't think he's going to go that way?
No, I'm taking your accent. I've actually genuinely lost it. I don't know. Yeah, there we go. Okay, fine.
Half of my podcasts are subscriptions to legal roleplay.
So we'll skip ahead.
I'm sad you didn't let me do the full courtroom speech. I mean, that was the final line, but it was better in the
middle. We really liked hearing it. It's such a shame that Alex said that for time reasons, we had to cut 45 minutes.
I'll tell you what we can do, Bryn, is after this recording session, we can do a metacast, which is just an hour of your legal argument.
Oh, that
you are on.
Possibly.
It's like sightseeing. I've heard about this.
Do they do popcorn?
Yeah. What's popcorn? No, I would know what popcorn is. But maybe I'd like to say it just to mess with Bertie. Yeah. What's corn? What is the word pop?
I think
Who
you get...
are you?
I think popcorn is French for the Rochelle.
I think you can get calamari.
There is a huge huge.
So they spend a lot of their magical goodwill on good lighting.
There's a priest dedicated to it. They're just uplighting all the time.
in the tech department.
Yeah, this is part of the cult of Poseidon where they all just wear tight black t-shirts and are really unhelpful to absolutely everyone.
So
pull gaffer tape out of their beards.
WD-40. Conjure WD-40.
We love you, techies. Please, please, please keep doing what you're doing. And don't
sorry, Martin.
You don't appreciate what we do.